Hi, everybody, and welcome to tonight's webcast. This is Jordan Adler. Today is the 25th of June, 2012, and I've got a very special call for you tonight. I am going to start off with just a quick testimonial, and then I'm going to introduce my special guest. This was sent to me through Jeff Packard, and as you know, Jeff Packard spearheaded the 30-day gratitude challenge, and this is the testimonial email that he just sent to me. It says, "Wow, I never dreamed this gratitude challenge could be so huge. I did my 30 days and plan to continue. It has done the following for me. Two of my former career bosses were greatly touched and left phone messages, which I have kept. My former two business partners have changed their interactions with me to be more personal. I had one of my golf buddies thank me with tears in his eyes. My longest and best friend of over 65 years called me late last night telling me his card was a landmark milestone in his life. The best was the healing with my daughter, who is estranged with me over personal matters. She called on Father's Day, and I saw her 3 days later on her 46th birthday. I'm invited to visit her and the family in a few weeks in North Carolina. Why would anyone not do this? Dave Wainwright from Rancho Bernardo." Thank you for that, Dave. Jeff, thanks for passing that along. My special guest tonight, I'm really excited. Dr. Ivan Meisner is one of the top networkers in the world, and essentially how we met, I was invited to a BNI meeting in Scottsdale, Arizona. I had never heard of BNI. There were 12 people at the meeting, and I just joined send-out cards. And everybody got to do a 60-second commercial, and when they got to me, I had just signed up with send-out cards. I held up a greeting card, and I did my 60-second commercial, and the rest is history. I started seeing the opportunity as I began to grow my team and started encouraging people to find BNI chapters. And in a year, we were in about 250 BNI chapters across the United States. I met Nate Dominguez along the way. Nate is the son of the CEO of BNI, and Nate wanted to introduce me and Cody to Ivan Meisner. So Ivan created the Business Network International, which is the number one independent business networking organization on the planet. They have over 6,150 chapters all over the world. They have 143,000 members, and by the way, just a special shout-out to BNI Arizona, where I was once a BNI director, and that's where I met Nate and Kelly Dominguez through Gary Fangman, who really indoctrinated me to the BNI organization. It was founded in 1985, and last year alone, BNI generated 6.9 million referrals, resulting in almost $3.1 billion worth of business. Dr. Meisner is from the University of Southern California. That's where he's got his PhD. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He's written 16 books, including his number one bestseller, most recently, Business, Networking, and Sex, and it's not what you think. He's a columnist for Entrepreneur.com and a senior partner for the Referral Institute, and he's called the Father of Modern Networking by CNN and the Networking Guru by Entrepreneur Magazine. He's been on many radio shows, CNN, BBC, The Today Show, NBC, and he's also an amateur magician and black belt in karate. Send-out cards, just kind of wrapping this up, send-out cards is one of BNI's few strategic partners, and we've been mentioned in a number of Dr. Meisner's New York Times best-selling books on networking. So you're going to learn some of the real keys to successful networking on the call from one of the most influential men on the planet. So Dr. Meisner, Ivan, are you with me?
I certainly am. Thanks.
You bet. Hey, it's so good to hear your voice. It's been a long time.
Hey, it has been a long time, and I just want to say that I really respect the organization that you've built, the team that you've built, and the success that you've achieved. You're clearly one of the top send-out cards people, and it's a real honor to know you.
Thanks, Ivan. Where are you today?
I'm actually at the BNI headquarters today. I've basically been in the office 2 days this month, so I've been traveling a lot. Got back from Australia and Florida, doing the book tour thing for the gender book.
I saw the pictures on Facebook. It looked like you were having a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Why don't we start off here? Maybe we could start off by just, if you wouldn't mind telling me and the team, we've got well over 1,000 people listening in tonight, and then there will be another probably 3,000 or 4,000 that will hear this call over the next couple of days because it is being recorded. Why did you even agree to be on this call? I'm just curious, and I'd like to have you share with the group why you would even want to do a call like this.
Besides the fact you're promoting your book. Well, listen, I'll mention the book, but I really want to be able to, answer questions that you might have in terms of how your team can network more effectively. That's what I really want to focus on. There's three reasons why I did the call. First of all, BNI has a strategic alliance with Sendot Cards. And I think you alluded to it in the introduction. We don't have very many strategic alliances with organizations. But Sendot Cards really, it not only fits what we are doing in terms of touch points and connecting with people, which is one of the things that I recommended in a number of my books and recommend Sendot Cards in particular. But it also, I think the ethos and philosophy of Sendot Cards is very compatible with BNI. So that relationship, and then the relationship with you and the relationship with Nathan and Kelly Dominguez, who are executive directors for BNI and active in Sendot Cards. I mean, those are it's all about social capital, and you guys have plenty of social capital with me.
Great, thank you. So this next question, Ivan, is a question that probably we could spend 4 to 8 hours on, but we'll take a few minutes. So you're a professional networker, and you've built the largest business network in the world with over 143,000 members and over 6,000 chapters. If you were a Sendot Cards distributor, how would you build it quickly, and what are some networking tips for people that are listening in tonight? This, guys, by the way, if you're listening tonight and you've got access to a notepad, this would be a good time to write down some notes. What would you do, Ivan, to build a Sendot Cards business, and what are some networking tips?
Right, and I am a Sendot Cards client and have been for many, many years. I use the product, have an account, and love it. First, I would say there's probably no quick way to build a powerful personal network. It does take time. The second thing I would point out is that most people do networking, I think, the wrong way. There is what I call a disconnect in networking. And so you have to understand what networking really is in order to answer the question well, and that is it's about building relationships. I did a presentation in London a few years ago. There were 900 people in the audience, and I said, how many of you are here today hoping, maybe just possibly, raise your hands, if you would like to sell something? And it was an all-day event, lots of networking. So, are you here hoping to sell something? Raise your hands. Almost everybody of the 900 raised their hands. I said, great. Now, raise your hands if you're here today hoping to buy something. Nobody raised their hand. 900 people, not one person. Jordan, that's what I call the networking disconnect. People show up at networking events wanting to sell, but nobody's there to buy. Now, can you get lucky and stumble upon somebody that, is looking to buy your product or service? Yeah, that happens. But even a blind squirrel can find a nut. You can stumble over business. What I try to teach people is that networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. It's about cultivating relationships, and that's the key, relationships. So the quickest way, which is not quick, the quickest way is to understand the concept that I teach called the VCP process. Visibility, credibility, profitability. And it's a chronological process. And if you don't get this, nothing else you do counts. So it's sort of the mindset of effective networking, then you apply the skill set. Visibility is where people know who you are and what you do. Credibility is where people know who you are, they know what you do, and they know you're good at it or your company's good at it. And profitability is where people know who you are, they know what you do, they know you're good at it, and they're willing to pass you ongoing referrals on a reciprocal basis. And that process, moving from visibility to credibility and from credibility to profitability, takes time. It takes 6 months to a year before you have people who trust you enough to pass you business regularly. And so no quick answer, but that's the beginning of what you need to do to build a powerful personal network.
That's great. So I want to get specific for just a minute.
Yeah.
You still with me, Dr. Meiser?
Yes.
Okay. I want to get specific for just a minute. Let's just say, and I know this is not, you're an author, you're a speaker, and you build BNI. But let's just say you were at some point, and I know this is not a reality, but I'm just throwing this out because I want to put your mind in the space of actually building. If you were a Sendot Cards distributor, what specifically would you do if you were a Sendot Cards distributor and you wanted to build? Because you're, using your examples and your specific approach could be really valuable to the people listening in here. If that were a reality, what would you do?
The first thing I would do is diversify the networks that I belong to. It's important that you spend at least 6.5 hours a week in your networking activities. We just finished this book, Business Networking and Sex, which is about gender, the difference between men and women and how they network. We surveyed 12,000 people, and one of the questions we asked was, how much time do you spend networking, and what percentage of your business do you get from networking? And we found that the average was about 6.5 hours a week, and the average in the generation of business was about 50% of the business through 6.5 hours a week. Some people got 100% of their business through networking and referral marketing, but they spent more. So here's the first part of the answer. If you want to be average, you need to spend at least 6.5 hours a week networking. If you want to be above average, you need to spend more time doing that, more like 8 to 10 hours a week in your networking activities. So what does that look like? You've got to diversify the networks that you belong to. Networking Like a Pro, I talk about the four streams of your personal network. And the four streams are casual contact networks, knowledge networks, strong contact networks, and online networks. So the first thing I would do if I were a Send.Cards representative is diversify the networks that I belong to. I would be active in a local chamber of commerce. That's a casual contact network. I would be active in a knowledge network, something that increases your expertise in a field, your knowledge, your information. May or may not be relevant with Send.Cards, but if so, then participate in a knowledge network like a professional association. Might be Toastmasters to learn how to speak better in terms of talking to other groups. Strong contact networks like BNI, that's a strong contact network, and online networks like LinkedIn, Facebook, etc. You want to diversify those. You want to be in at least one of three or four of those kinds of networks. Don't go join three or four chambers. Be in one. Be in a knowledge network, a strong contact network. And online networks, you could move it around a little bit. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. That's great. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is immerse and engage in learning how to do this. Because we don't teach this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. We just don't teach it. People get bachelor's degrees in business, and they have no idea how to network. Yet in the survey we did for the gender book, we found that 91.4% of all of the 12,000 respondents, 91.4% said networking has played a role in their success. Jordan, when have you ever seen 91% of any group of people agree to anything ever? They just don't. You can't get 91. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, you can't get 91% of any group to agree to anything, yet 12,000 people, and they weren't BNI members, by the way. There were some BNI members, but it was open to the public. 91% of the respondents said that was important. Yet we don't teach this in colleges and universities. So the second thing I would do is immerse yourself in a culture of learning. Now, I'm speaking to the choir because these are people who are already on a phone call, so they get that, and that's good. But they also need to learn how to network. That means you need to pick up some books, get some training. I've got a lot of books on networking. Bob Berg has a really good book on networking. Susan Rowan has a really good book on networking. Immerse yourself. Learn the skill sets to apply to the mindset of VCP. And I could spend an entire day talking about the skill sets.
Can somebody network with the telephone and the internet, or do you need to meet people in person?
Well, to me, it's not either or. It's both and. I think that it's a mistake to try and build all of your business face-to-face when there is this great tool called the Internet that it can help you a great deal. On the other end of the spectrum, I think it's crazy to try to build your business exclusively through the Internet when nothing beats face-to-face. And so it's not either or, it's both and. Both strategies need to be employed. A few years ago, I had a guy from Stockholm, a newspaper reporter, come to do an interview, and he was a 20-something-year-old kid, and he had to come do this interview, and he had to drive an hour and a half to get to me, and he sat down. He spent the first 5 minutes, no joke, Jordan, the first 5 minutes berating me for running what he called the buggy whip business of the networking industry.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, he did. He did. He's like, man, this, you know, what you're running is like the buggy whip business. It's gonna go the way of the buggy whips because, you know, face-to-face is passe. And so I said to him, so why are you here?
And right.
He said, well, my boss said I had to do this interview. I said, I get it. You don't want to be here, but why are you here? Why didn't you just pick up the phone and call me? And he looked at me without blinking and said, well, because a face-to-face interview is always better.
Interesting.
And I just shrugged and looked at him, and he was like, oh, I get it. Face-to-face, you have that connection, the relationship. Just like an interview is better face-to-face, networking is better face-to-face. And it is. And until we go to like some Star Wars environment where you have holographic images of Jedi Knights in a big circle, having a meeting, until that happens, face-to-face isn't going anywhere. In our lifetime, face-to-face networking is and will continue to be very important. And so it's both and, not either or.
Now, I think I know your answer to this question, but I'd like to ask it because I know it's a question that comes up regularly, and it has to do with sales versus networking and scripts versus speaking from the heart. Do you have any thoughts on whether people should use scripts in network marketing, and also what's the difference between sales and networking?
Well, sales are really sort of the end result. You want to network to get sales, and sometimes people confuse sales and networking. Going to a networking meeting and passing out cards with the purpose of closing a sale is not effective networking. That's direct selling, and I would argue it's not even particularly good direct selling. Selling is an important part of networking. You know, if you get a referral, it's not always 100% guaranteed it's going to turn into a sale. You have to have some sales skills to be able to turn that into a sale. But we all know a referred lead or a referral, it closes at a much higher ratio than a lead off of an advertisement. So referrals lead to a higher percentage of sales. So they're inextricably tied, sales and networking. Networking is the process. The sale is the end result. Now, what was the other part of the question?
I have a philosophy or a thought about scripts, using scripts.
Scripts. Yeah, well, look, you know, when you're new, I think the scripts are important because you don't know what to say, and it's better that you say what is accurate than to completely wing it and get way off script. But the idea for a script is to give you enough to – and I don't know what you – I don't know if you guys – I'm guessing you have a lot of scripts that you use.
Really, we really don't, but some people think we should. We don't have a lot, but
– Well, okay, good. Well, I think where you need to get to is being in a place where you don't have a script, because if it comes from the heart, it's going to come – it's going to be much more effective than trying to repeat a script. Scripts can be – people can rely too heavily on them. So where I was headed was, if you have scripts, get away from them as soon as you can, because having a conversation is better than, hello, Jordan, I sell this, you know, or let's talk about it. So it sounds scripted when you're doing it. You generally know when you're talking to somebody who's basically giving you their script. So instead what you want to do is tell a story in your own words. Tell a story. So let me tell you what makes a great story. And your listeners should absolutely write this down, because this is what makes a great story. Four things. First, you give them a fact. Then you wrap that fact in an emotion. You did it with the story you were talking about, how the person finally connected with an estranged daughter.
Yep.
That was a tug on the heartstrings. Okay? It can be a funny story. It could be in your business, the emotional heartstring story is a real good one with send-out cards. So it's a fact wrapped in an emotion that compels people to take action, that transforms them in some way. Those are the four keys of a good story. It's a fact wrapped in an emotion that compels people to take action, that transforms them in some way. I've always believed that ignorance on fire is better than knowledge on ice.
Mm. And you could do a whole program just on how to tell stories, couldn't you?
And have, actually. Yeah, I've done presentations on that. So if you know, I would rather have somebody who's speaking from the heart without a script working for me than somebody who's following a script verbatim and hits every cylinder, but it sounds canned.
Okay, so here's a question that came in from one of our distributors right before we started this call. And I'm just going to hit it head on here. As of today, this is what he said. As of today, I've given out 1,330 greeting cards since June 23rd, 2011. I don't know how many boxes of brownies I've mailed out, but it's been a lot. I have one distributor and four customers. The people I've sent cards to don't seem too curious about the cards, and if they say anything they've received the card, some people will say thank you and say the brownies were good, but things don't look too prosperous for me. What would you say to that person?
Well, the first thing you want to do is to start it sounds like – how many did he send out, 1,000?
1,330 cards in the past year.
That's a lot. So he is he or she is clearly at visibility, but they haven't gone deep into credibility. So what you want to do is to really go deeper in the relationship so that people have a vested interest in helping you in some way. Let me give you a metaphor that might help. Here in Southern California, we have a particular type of eucalyptus tree. I live in Southern California. And so we have this particular type of eucalyptus tree. And you may, around the world, certainly in the U.S., probably see from time to time these Santa Ana winds that hit Southern California. And you always see these pictures of trees knocked over in streets. And those are almost always eucalyptus trees. Now, the reason I bring it up is that particular type of eucalyptus tree, which is prevalent in Southern California, it was brought in from outside Southern California. It's not a native tree. It has a root system that is very broad but not very deep. And so when you're having difficult times, and I'm going to switch this over to networking, when you're talking about difficult times, if your network is a mile wide and an inch deep, it'll fall over in the wind. If you're trying to build your business, it's not going to be successful. If you're going through tough economic times, it'll fall over. And so your network has to be both broad and deep in places. So my suggestion to this representative is sit down. You don't need to send out 1,300. All you need is 100. Now, if you get 200, 300, that's great, but you have to go deep with some of those people. You have to meet with them. Do a one-to-one meeting with them. And the one-to-one meeting shouldn't be a sales meeting. It should be a networking meeting. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the things that I've got it in the fourth edition of World's Best Known Marketing Secret or in the book Business by Referral. Take a look at those in the back. And if you're a BNI member, go to your director because you can get it. The GAINS Exchange. It stands for Goals, Accomplishments, Interests, Networks, and Skills. So what you do is you sit down with those, you know, start working on those 1,300 people, start with the best prospect and work your way down. Say, hey, I'd like to get together. I'd like to get to know you better so that I can help you in business and tell you a little bit more about what I do. And then truly, genuinely try to find ways to help them. And you sit down with the GAINS Exchange and you do your goals, your accomplishments, your interests, your networks, your skills, and ask them to do the same. And when you sit down with them, you go through that. And you look for opportunities to help them, refer them, support them. That's the best way to start building a relationship. And it takes time. You're looking at another 6 months to a year before it starts to pay off. But do one-to-ones, build a power team of people in compatible professions, and go deep, not just broad.
I got to tell you, Ivan, I've learned so much from you reading your books and being around BNI. And I mean, the education from being around BNI, and I've done hundreds of the kinds of meetings that you're talking about where the intention was not to sell send-out cards or to sell my business, but to get to know that person and for them to get to know me. And it's that social capital is extremely powerful. We have about 3 minutes, and I've got one more question. We recently developed through a collaborative effort, and it was kind of the idea was spearheaded through Jeff Packard, who, by the way, is a member of BNI, the 30-Day Gratitude Challenge. And over 10,000 people have signed up for the challenge in the past 45 days. We challenge people to send one card a day to someone they're grateful for. And it costs them $1 a day. And then if they don't feel that they got incredible value from it, that it has dramatically changed their life, we'll refund their $30. And so we've got thousands of people taking the challenge and thousands of people a week signing up for it right now. BNI's philosophy is givers gain, and ours is send out to give, and we do make a living through giving. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on gratitude and what role it plays in business and in life.
I think that it's so easy. Even people who don't think they have a scarcity mentality probably don't have a lot of gratitude in their lives. They're not showing a lot of gratitude in their lives. I think anything that gets people to recognize what they do have going for them is a great idea. And there's nothing more powerful, I think, than telling people thank you for something that they did, especially if it's, you know, especially if you surprise somebody with, you know, they did something small and they get a card, they get a thank you of some kind. It's unexpected. We don't do it in this world anymore. You know, we live in this soundbite society with an expectation you know, people have their own expectations and thank yous just don't happen, especially through the mail. We live in an email society. It's one of the things I love about Send That Cards is that, you know, it shows up in the mail. So love the gratitude concept. I think you're absolutely on the right track. For you people who are not doing it, I would urge them to do it because it's a great way to then you want touch points with people. You want to touch them. You want to touch them in ways that you're not asking them for something. So that if you touch them in ways that you're not asking them for something, when you want to do that one-to-one, they're more likely to say yes.
Good stuff. Hey, Dr. Meisner, it's been an absolute joy. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. I'm going to open the lines, let everybody chance to thank you, and I'm sure we'll see you soon. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, listen, thank you, and happy to do it anytime you want, Jordan. You just let me know. I'll be here.
Great. All right, everybody, on the count of three, go ahead and shout out your name and the city you're calling from. One, two, and...
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got goosebumps with the ready.